now tuned into the greatest. Turn the music up in the headphones.
Hey everyone, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Guten Tag everyone, Jürgen here.
Oh, Al Pacino here. I listen to the SNL Premier League podcast on V2Football.com.
Now on V2Football.com. The same ass when I came. It's
your boy! Okay, we're going in. One. Two. Oh!
He's scared.
Oh, the electric. The battery, son.
Alright.
Looking. Battery, son.
Right, one. Two. Three. Four.
What are you going up for?
Oh, yeah. I was going in. One, two, three. Hold on, little girl. Right, one. Two.
No, you're going up again, Ali. We go down.
Oh, yeah, five. Yeah, five. Five. Four. I thought that was weird. I wasn't sounding
just
the same.
Just counting something.
Yeah. I thought that was, wasn't I sounded the same. Five. Four. Three.
Welcome everybody to the Ash and Al Premier League podcast on V2Football.com. Still with our new sponsors, Art of Football.
They had some lovely new designs this week, didn't they?
Beautiful new designs. Yeah. Beautiful. They've done a little sideline as well. They're starting rugby designs as well.
Are they really?
Yes, so you like that. You've got a rugby background, you have.
Yeah, I do have a
rugby. So you'll like that.
So I've been told. I can't remember.
I've never seen the back of me.
I can't remember after the kicked in the head. Apparently I was a good player. After I was kicked in the head, I can't remember.
Can't remember. but yes, artoffootball.com, and if you've never seen it, never been on it, get on it on the interweb, on Twitter, at artoffootball, Facebook, Instagram. Beautiful handcrafted designs, which...
I saw one this week. Sorry.
You've interrupted me in my spiel, son. In my
Ian
spiel.
Wright one, with a 147.
Oh, yeah.
That was a stunning one. I'm not even an Arsenal supporter.
No, it's a nice one.
I would buy it.
It's a nice, very nice one.
Go on, son.
All right. Yes, yeah, so like I was saying, the handcrafted designs, which emulate the beauty of those split-second moments that you never forget. And they capture the energy, the passion, the euphoria that erupts from that one magical kick of the football. And they only produce a limited number of each design, so your T-shirts, like any good piece of art, are exclusive and completely original. Mm-hmm. So get on the website, and like you said, you mentioned the Arsenal one there.
Awesome.
If you want to buy it, or if you, ladies and gentlemen, want to go and buy that, get on there, because we've got an exclusive 10% discount code.
How much?
10%, Al. You can't ask for more.
You can.
You can. You can ask for 90% more. We went through this last week, Al. But don't be greedy. 10% off with the promo code Ash and Al. It's the and symbol, Ash and Al.
Oh, yeah.
So enter that in the promo code on their website at the checkout. Fill your basket. Fill your books.
There's one I saw yesterday of Akinfenwa.
Akinfenwa.
Bench pressing a lion.
He can bench press a lion.
He is. He's just bench pressing it. In lovely watercolours.
Yes. Amazing. So, yes. So get on that, ladies and gentlemen. And... what a show we've got for you today.
Mm.
A bit of a Borough theme running through the show.
Come on, the Borough.
Come on, the Borough. Aye, Karanka.
Not anymore.
With the news this week that Karanka's left, we've got two very special guests joining us throughout the show. We have Middlesbrough fanatic, season ticket holder, home and away, follows them through thick and thin, ex-Premier League referee, Jeff Winter.
Yeah.
Who's going to talk to us?
And Winter's coming.
Winter's coming, son. And he's going to give us all his views from the fans' point of view, sort of thing. And then also we've got ex-Borough player.
Borough legend.
One of your personal favourites, Al. Your All-Star team.
Yeah.
Premier League team. Dean Gordon, ladies and gentlemen. Who gives us his views coming from an ex-pro and professional. And also lets us know what he's up to now.
He's a great course for the Borough. Oh, he's a tremendous brilliant player.
Fantastic.
I got to see him play as well.
You did, yeah?
I saw him play against Bradford.
Against Bradford, there we are. So, all that to come. Plus the usual, we'll run through the games with our review. We'll have our Beer Mac quiz. Seamus Plugs will be here to tell us all things V2 football. We may see if we can get Roy on. find out where he is.
I forgot about Roy.
Where he is, yes. I've been in touch. He's he apparently turned down the six-fingered folk down in Norfolk this week for their job.
He's been
to stay with Ash and Al.
He's been linked to the Riverside, but he's going to have a hard time saying that.
Yeah. He's only right.
Harry Redknapp wants the job.
Yeah.
And, well, they want Gus.
There's a few people in Kidding, Blink, blah, blah, blah.
So Steve McLaren at the end.
He's there. And he's available. He's available.
Alan Pardew.
Oh, don't mention his name. But anyway, yes, so have we got time for the catch-up now? Or should
we crack on.
Because this crack is on. An We're action busy, double busy. Action, but double busy. And we'll start with the first game of the weekend, early kick-off yesterday, Saturday. West Bromwich Albion against the Arsenal. 3-1 winners, West Brom, Al.
Yes.
Dawson with two. Carnu. Was it Brian Robson's and Wank O'Carnu's love child?
Two headers, wasn't it? Was it
Dawson.
Dawson's, yeah. You see two separates from corners.
Sanchez with the consolation for Arsenal. But I saw the goals, I saw the highlights. Arsenal not at the risk at all.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible defender.
Credit to West Brom though, they come out there, they had a real go and got stuck in and got a tremendous result. At home as well, very hard to beat at home, goes to show. However bad Arsenal play, you've still got to be on form to get a good result like that against them and make them look back. And all the talk is obviously about Wenger again this week, intensifying.
Well, I heard little rumours he's going to sign a 1-year extension.
Yeah, it's in bits and pieces. They offered him 2 years, he's only going to have one. Very strange that is. He came out in the press conference and said
I know
what I'm doing. You will soon.
You will soon, yeah.
Well, that smacks of I'm going, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'd say, well, I'm signing a new contract, I'm here. Because the sooner those players know,
the better they play.
The better. Well, they can't play much worse than yesterday. But surely that's going to, you know, it's going to settle them down and they're going to think, right, like it or lump it, he's here now. Play
we've
in the summer.
Games with him.
Exactly, in the summer. If I want to go, I'll go now.
Yeah, which probably would be a mass exodus. Probably.
Well, it looks Sanchez got the goal yesterday, and he's one of the only ones who was having a goal yesterday. So it's hard to tell who's the rotten apple, so to speak.
Sanchez.
So Laurie Sanchez, the boy, yeah. Alexis. But cracking.
I think the Ox will be off.
The Ox will be off. I think. His contract's up next summer, I think, isn't it? So they may cash in on him.
No, I thought his contract's up this summer, isn't it?
No, I think it's next.
There's a couple of players with contracts up this summer, isn't it?
No, I know that quite a few of Man City are up, but
I think he's. That's going to be a massive clean up there.
Yeah, so, no, I'm sure he had an interview earlier this season. Said, "Come the summer, he's got
be
a year
back
left."
To Arsenal.
Oh yeah.
All the former Arsenal players will be back.
Maybe that's what Wenger's waiting for in the summer. Bring them all back. One more glory season. Yeah. Sol will be back. Get his boots on. Tony Adams, Sol Campbell. But yeah, so cracking with West Brom and continue their fantastic season under Tony Pulis. We'll move on.
Well, them in the league now, let me check.
West Brom,
eighth
they are.
Eighth,
43 points. Still a good 6 or so points off, or 8 points off Everton. So I think 8th or 9th is going to be their finishing position by the way they're going. And Arsenal dropped down 6 after all the results this weekend.
Are they really?
Yeah. So, because Manchester United result, of course. But yeah, so move on to down to London. Crystal Palace, Sellers Park. 1-0 win against Watford. Elton's big boys. Down at Crystal Palace. Troy Deeney on goal. And it's all starting to turn around for Sam Allardyce.
It is, isn't it?
Three wins, three clean sheets. He's got him playing his way now, hasn't he? He took a while. He took some stick early doors. But he seemed to be all buying into what he was doing now.
Unfortunately, yeah. It is getting...
Unfortunately for you, Alan, being a Borough fan. But, they look like they can go on a run now and pull away.
Well, they should do their fucking...
Up to 16th now.
Hell of a fucking team on paper.
Troy Deeney on goal. They didn't have a shot. Apparently, I think the stats say they didn't have a shot on goal.
Yeah, they didn't have a shot on goal.
So, I mean, that's Zaha. I mean, he ran the players ragged, but his end product is terrible.
It's like, what is it, Torre for Torre for Borough?
Yeah, Adama.
Adama, yeah.
Adama,
you can run and run, but it's...
Yeah.
his end product. It's terrible.
But and Townsend seemed to turn up yesterday a bit, so I mean, if they can get those two playing and Benteke sticking the ball in there a few times, they're going to be well out of safety. And the players are buying into Sam's policy, as we said. You know, he's just a miracle man at the end of the day, and he does it everywhere he goes, doesn't he? So, so Crystal Palace up 16th, Watford in 14th.
Do you think he'll be there next season?
Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if you never got the England job, he'd still be at Sunderland.
Yeah,
they would be mid-table.
Yeah.
At very best, they'd be mid-table without a doubt, because, you know, it's not the style. He gets the players together as a group and gets them right in, you know, just buying into the philosophy that he's got, which is, you know, winning football games as well as you can.
He's
done amazing. Come on now, isn't
it? What he did with Bolton.
Well, exactly. Bolton. I mean, yeah. So, and then we mentioned Everton before there. 4-0 winners against Hull.
Yeah,
Hull. Who's been on a good run. Not so good away from home. Very good at home under Silva.
Lukaku
with two. Calvert Lewin. Good. Nearly.
Signed a new contract.
Very nearly a very good name. Valencia. Huddlestone sent off for Hull as well, so down to 10 men. But yeah, look, that's all the talk really. It was expected win for Everton.
Yeah.
But as you said, the refusal to sign the contract is all the news that's coming out of Everton at the moment, isn't it?
I saw there.
And they reckon, you know, most experts, if you can go on that, reckon he's going to be off, don't they, in the summer.
Well, Chelsea want him back, don't they?
Chelsea want him back, and he's still very good mates with Drogba, who's reckoned they're going to, you know, he's going to be leaning in his ear for a return. But the way they, you know, they play Costa up front on his hod, so unless they get rid of Costa, is he going to go back there and sit on the bench? Like, I know they're going to have more games because they're going to be Champions League.
Yeah.
But is he going to go there and displace Costa?
I think yes, because I think Costa's turning into a liability for his temper.
Well, I know he kept it under strain a little bit yesterday, where he could have lost it quite easily, because they were playing Stoke, weren't they?
Yeah.
And they kicked lumps out of him. They were winding
next
up so much.
Next season, if he carries on like Champions League, more games.
Yeah.
I don't know. But as you said, is he going to go back sit on the fucking bench?
Well, exactly.
65 million they want to pay. They have to pay for him.
It's a lot of money. You know, you're going to have most big clubs in England are going to be looking for a striker in the summer.
Well, look at Nathan Aké.
Well, yeah,
we called him and he hasn't played.
No, exactly. Absolutely ridiculous. The stunt of his development. But yeah. I mean, there was talk. You know, we talk about, we'll get back to Lukaku, but Chelsea, they talk about going for Van Dijk from Southampton in the summer.
Yeah.
And using Nathan Aké as part of the deal. Now, why recall him? They weren't ravaged with injuries in defensive positions. You know, he was getting good experience at Bournemouth.
He was.
And he was playing well, performing well. So it was a very strange decision that. But look,
maybe he's playing too well.
Maybe you know, it's tricky, isn't it? It's tricky.
We'll take him back.
Tricky. So look, I mean, Man United are going to be probably looking for another strike in the summer.
Yeah,
you know, Zlatan looks like Zlatan is going to sign on for another year.
They fancy that, wasn't it? It was. Was it Guzman?
Oh yeah. He's going to be a tough one to get though.
But the Monaco striker.
Oh, the young boy.
Yeah, was it Mbaye?
I can't pronounce it.
Something like that.
Next Henry, let's call him that.
Yeah, he's on the list now.
Yeah. So he's going to be sought after, you know. Just in this country, never mind the rest of Europe, are going to be going for Lukaku. So, but then it depends. I mean, Everton have got the resources now. They might go out and sign some very good players in the summer.
To settle,
no. But if he doesn't want to be there, they're not going to risk losing him.
Well, they got two. He's got 2 years left on his contract.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're going to sell him. They're going to make a fucking profit off him.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. But yeah, so we'll move on now to Chelsea. 2-1 winners away to Stoke. Jonathan Walters with a penalty. Willian and Cahill with a late winner for Chelsea, who stay top with 69 points.
Chelsea's league.
It's there, it's gone, isn't it?
No chance.
Too good there. Too good this season, without a doubt. So it would be great, as you said, see who they could bring in the summer as well and see how they do. It's going to be a great season next year. When they've got more games to play as other top teams, you know, the Champions League, so on. So it's going to be great to see how they do. And then you'll really see how good they are because at the moment they're showing everyone how to do it. And Stoke, you know, you expect a tight game there.
Yeah, which it was, really. It was a tight game.
It was tight. They had a few chances. It was
a bit of a Donnybrook.
Donnybrooks.
You know? in defence midfield, yeah. Some of the players.
Yeah.
Was then Beasley got sent off right at the end.
Yes. But
fair thing. A lot of weird decisions, though. Was it? Cahill. Was it Cahill?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Cahill, was it?
Yeah.
Penalty.
Yeah, that was dodgy, yeah. Because they disallowed a goal just before.
Yeah, they did.
From Martins, is it?
Yeah.
Which I was gutted about because he's in my dream team. Him and Shawcross at centre back in my dream team. Cheap seat.
Yeah.
But good. But Stoke, another safe season. Ninth at the moment. Another safe season under Mark Hughes, who's, you know, as we've said time and time again, what a job he's doing there.
Yeah.
And how he deserves, a shot at a bigger club. You know, got hard done by Man City, as we've always said.
One of the biggest jobs up for grabs in the summer, and he did play for them, Barcelona.
You never know, sir.
Sparky, back at Barca.
Yeah, be good, wouldn't it? I can't see it.
Never know.
Because, is it Messi's? No, not Messi, sorry. Iniesta's come out and backed the assistant manager.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then apart from that, it's the Sevilla boy in it, Sam Perro.
Yeah.
Can't say his name. Anyway, that's all that's done.
Yeah, it looks like Stramboni.
Yeah. We'll leave that to the hipster's guide to Europe. Hipster's and we're the Premier League podcast here. We are. So we'll move on to.
Is it the hipster's guide to
Hipster's
Europe?
Guide to Europe.
Is that a play on? Is there a pun for the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Could be, sir.
Because I just clicked on hipster's guide.
Could be. You'll have to ask him. But anyway,
we're trying to hide the geekiness. In hipsters.
But if you want to listen to that, guys, get on V2 Football because that's on there. Great podcast all about European football and the leagues.
I haven't listened to it.
No, you don't listen to ours, Al.
No, I don't actually. I missed last week's one.
What happened last week? What did we have last week? Did we do one? Yeah, we
had Mickey Hazard.
Mickey Hazard, Spurs legend, man. Yeah. Of course we did. So, great podcast. I wish Fred does. So we move on.
I listen to it then back-to-back.
Back-to-back, yeah. Binge listeners, yeah.
A binge on your voice.
Everyone does, man, yeah. Everyone does. Right, so bottom of the pile, Sunderland, 0 against Burnley, 0. 0-0, Bournemouth 0-0.
Battled hard
to a point away from home. Very, very poor away from home, Burnley, but they got themselves a point. Continue to be well and truly safe, really. 32 points, 13th. Sunderland, you've got to look at it really as 2 points dropped. Got their point, but home games against a team like Burnley, like we say, they do battle hard and make it difficult. But at home, you've got to beat teams like that. That's a winnable game.
Definitely.
To stay up and.
They are honestly slipping.
Yeah.
Off now, aren't they?
Just not getting results. Well, if he doesn't score, they don't win, do they?
Exactly, so
they
don't,
you know, very rare. Very rare. So he's the only.
He's out there. Got 20 million for him. They're in the same position.
Well, exactly. But he's got a call up the England squad. So
he did. Good.
Good. Very good. Very good. About time.
Bounce Southgate for doing that.
Good 3 years since he's been there, I think. Yeah. So absolutely deserves that. Don't know about Vardy, mind, but
although,
he's in there.
Troy Deeney should get called up because I was looking at the stats and he's the number one English striker.
Yeah, well, after Kane and whatever.
Yeah,
obviously Kane's injured, so he can't be picked. But, so I'm not convinced Vardy should be in it. But Southgate's way, you don't know what which style he's going to play with yet, do we? But, so Sunderland really need to, because I think it's a good 6-7 points off now they are.
Yeah.
I know they've got one game in hand on Swansea, I think, who was 17th, to get out of the, So it's going to be tight. As we've always said. And on to our next game before half time. West Ham 2 down the Sir Bobby Moore Stadium. And Leicester 3. Pulling away Leicester easy now with a bit of Shakespeare, son.
At the McCarter Arena.
McCarter Arena. Lanzini, who is really stepping up since player's gone, having tremendous few months. He's very good, but he's under the spotlight. He's giving more freedom, more creativity. He's really pushing on now. He's very good when he first come on.
Yeah.
When he first come to them. But obviously Payet took the limelight then, and he was the main man. But Lanzini's got a lot of that responsibility back now, and AU with a late goal after Mahrez, Robert Hoof and Jamie Vardy got the goals for Leicester, who were really pulling away. 15th, 30 points.
Three goals again,
scoring for fun now. Mm. And that, you got it safe, haven't they? They're going to be safe. Yeah. You think they should, in the next, 10 games left, they give themselves another 5, 6, 8 points, they're safe. 38 points, aren't they? They're on 30 now.
Well, I think they can get the maximum.
I think they could get another
30 points at the 10 games, isn't
it? Yeah. You never know, son. They're champions. Yeah. You don't know, do you?
You can see them. I can see them.
Champions, Champions League winners, they come me as well. Yeah, it's going to happen. Sure. It's going to happen.
You got Atletico Madrid, don't they?
Yeah. And I remember when they had him under Martin O'Neill. I think Jimmy Floyd was out there then at Atletico, wasn't he?
Oh, is he?
I'm sure he was. I remember watching him. Two legs, wasn't it? In the UEFA Cup, son. UEFA Cup. Back in 97. So, it's going to be good. Going to be a good game to watch.
No, it'll be 98 season, won't it? No, it'll be 97, 98 season.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they beat Borough in the League Cup.
That's right, yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is half time on a Premier League review. Al, do the honours, son. There's Al with a triple kazoo.
Triple kazoo.
For the half time review. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that done work.
We want to put this on record now, Al. The reason why Al has got a triple kazoo in his mouth.
No, even triple. I got two more.
He's got two more.
In my arsenal.
I thought you were going to stop there, son.
My back arsenal.
But because I don't have any other listeners listen to the Chris Evans Breakfast Show on Radio BBC Two.
Ash Night. We do.
And it turns out he stole our ideas, hasn't he?
Stole our ideas.
By basically doing
kazoo songs out.
Kazoo songs.
Which we've been doing for months out.
They did Led Zeppelin.
They
did another one.
Yeah.
I was rocking Meatloaf last week. Back.
You were banging them out, sir. Banging them out.
I've been doing it all season.
All season. And they've gone and nicked it. So, absolutely. So, that's it now. I implore any listeners out there to,
boycott the Chris Evans Breakfast Show because he steals our ideas.
Absolutely. The war's on. The war's on. And it's starting.
Yes, he might have 10 million listeners and we've only got 10.
It don't matter, son. It don't matter.
But he stole
principles are a thing. We don't go around stealing other people's ideas.
No,
never.
Never
have we stolen anyone's ideas.
Never.
No. So, yes.
If we have, so prove it.
Exactly.
So now it's that time of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a very special guest. Please welcome lifelong Middlesbrough fan. It is Jeff Winter.
Hello.
Hiya, Jeff. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good. So, last time we spoke, you were doing a lot of charity events and after-dinner speaking and such, and, of course, your website. Are you still doing all those things?
Yes, I'm still here, there and everywhere with the speaking and hosting events and very much enjoying it. Other than that, still get into most, virtually every Middlesbrough game and a lot of Rangers games, a few Hartlepool games thrown in, and that doesn't leave much time for anything else other than me grandkids.
I was going to say, are you busier now than when you were a referee?
Busy doing what I want to do when I want to do it, so it's not a bad life.
Yeah. And obviously, check out your website occasionally, you update that constantly. Do you want to give that a quick plug?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing the articles I used to do as often, but... Yeah. I put a piece onto my website at every Borough home game, which is a copy of the article that I write for the Borough Matchday programme. But mainly the website is there for people to get hold of me for speaking events and purchase copies of my autobiography.
Yeah.
So it's still there and it's still active.
Yeah. So, as you said, we get on to the Borough and obviously the big news with Karanka leaving in the week. Was it the right time, the right decision, do you think?
I think it was the right decision. Whether it's the right time, only time will tell. There's only sort of, 10 games left now, and really, we do have not only the best chairman, but also the most loyal chairman in football, Steve Gibson. I think fans have many other clubs always say, I wish he was our chairman. Mm. He's a local lad, made good, and, you know, loves the club and tries to do what's best for the club. Some might say, I mean, Karanka is a, he's just a strange, strange person. He divided the fans, even up to the end when, you know, we weren't scoring goals, we weren't playing attacking football. Still many of the fans swore by him. But eventually, you know, something had to change. Karanka is son of Mourinho, best mates with Mourinho, and you can't you tell it. You know, he's stubborn, he's arrogant, his way or no way. He has his players, and, you know, no matter what the crowd are saying, what anybody's saying, he's stuck to his guns. Now, that's admirable if you're a Mourinho, and if you've got, you know, the top best players, then you can stick to a rigid formation. You know, as you move down from your Chelsea's and Manchester United, sadly, Borough haven't got players of that calibre, and, you know, he's insisted from the outset to play one man up front, you know, even in the Championship. And, you know, he took over the club when we were near the bottom of the Championships, thanks to the disastrous reign of Gordon Strachan. And if you look at the facts, he got us up into the Premier League with some excellent cup runs. But, you know, his style of football was never, ever good to watch. We crawled over the line in getting promotion from the Championship when really, with the players that Steve Gibson had provided him with, we should have romped the league. And it's been frustrating this season because, you know, any football fan, and especially a Borough fan, we don't mind getting beat. We've had a lifetime of watching our team get beat.
Yeah.
But going down fighting is what it's all about. And if you can go on a Saturday afternoon, Sunday, whenever it is, and watch your team give everything they've got and lose 3-2... to a better team,
yeah,
you can handle that. But, you know, we were playing teams in the Championship last year, Charlton, Rotherham, and struggling to break them down and score. So we always knew, even with the better players that he brought, that were brought in this season, that it would be difficult. But he stuck to his guns, and eventually, you know, the parting of ways has come, and, you know, the first game after he goes, it resulted in defeat at home to Manchester United.
Yeah.
But, you know, Steve Agnew took over the reins and made substitutions earlier, threw attackers on. We ended up with two centre-forwards on, which is something that very, very rarely would ever happen in Karanka's day. And, you know, there was a lot more optimism that the players, even after a 3-1 home defeat, were applauded off the pitch by the home fans. And only time will tell whether Steve Agnew, he's obviously very popular with the players, whether he can lift the confidence, get that. We've got a week coming up where we've got Swansea away, Hull away and Burnley at home. And, you know, that week has got to be a minimum 7, more likely 9 points.
Yeah.
Now, stranger things have happened, but when you look at the league table at the moment, you would say the bottom three look like they're the ones that have been cast adrift. But there's always a twist to the tale, and being a Borough fan, you've always got to hope and believe it's going to be you.
Yeah. Quickly about Karanka, when do you think, I mean, you say there's always divided the fans, but did it start turning a bit more negative towards him after that Charlton, before the Charlton game last season?
Well, it's very, very strange, you know. Had it have been maybe an English manager or a former player or something, I mean, we've had some phenomenal servants of Middlesbrough Football Club that have gone on to manage them. You know, down the years, we had Bobby Murdoch, we've had, you know, Willie Madron, we've had Gareth Southgate, Tony Mowbray, people who were legends at the football club, and when the results and performances started going, the fans turned against them. Karanka, he's led a little bit of a charmed life in some respects, because after the defeat at Rotherham, when he walked out, you know, that would and perhaps could and should have been the end of it.
Yeah.
We lost at Charlton on the Sunday in an abysmal performance, and I think that the players just didn't know where they were, what was happening, what was going on. And then the following Friday night, and this is how football sometimes, you know, works in your favour, for the last 20 minutes of a vital game at home to Hull City, there was only ever going to be one winner. Hull were the better team, creating the chances, and then I think we got a, it was about a 92nd, 93rd minute header from David Nugent. We won 1-0. He came into the press conference strutting around like he was, you know, king of the castle, all down to him.
Yeah.
And after that, we got a little bit of momentum, and we crawled over the line, you know, again in the final game of the season. We only had a draw against Brighton. We are drawing. They're down to 10 men. And we ended up, with his style of football, hanging on. You know, so we crawled over it, and some might say he could have gone after the Charlton game or after the Rotherham game last season, last March. In January, he just started doing some absolutely bizarre things. Apart from not changing formation and sticking with certain players and, you know, pushing out, he's got this habit of, you know, Jordan Rhodes had a horrendous time at Middlesbrough, the man who could score goals.
Yeah.
He was never given a look in, and he's had similar fallouts with Stuart Downing. There's other players at the club, James Husband, an excellent left back that's never got a look in, and that just seemed to be his way. But then in January, he turned on the fans when all the fans were doing in a game where, you know, we needed to score late on in the game. And the fans started singing, attack, 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 attack.
Yeah.
And he took that as a criticism, you know, that the fans wanted long ball and he didn't play long ball. When it wasn't the fans saying they wanted long ball, they just wanted the team moving forward, creating chances and getting some shots on target. Because this season, everybody knows, the lowest goal scorers in the entire four divisions, in fact the entire five top divisions in English professional football, lowest shots on target in the Premiership, you know, 20 goals we've now scored, 19 under his tenure. So, you know, having a go at the fans is not a good move.
Mm-hmm.
In the same month, he had a go at the club's recruitment policy, saying that they hadn't signed the players he wanted. And, you know, Steve Gibson shelled out best part of £15 million on Gested and Bamford. And then he called them players who couldn't even get a game in the Championship. So you think, well, how did he motivate a dressing room when he's making statements like that? And then a couple of weeks ago, after a very poor performance, he criticised the club's medical side for, you know, not giving him the full information about one of our injured players. So it was almost very much like Mourinho, who only ever lasts anywhere 3 years, maximum. It just seemed as if he wanted to fight the world. And, you know, I think the departure, which the club are very nicely saying, wasn't a sacking. They've parted on good terms for the mutual benefit of all concerned. And he's gone. History, you know, and now Middlesbrough have got a 10-game season where they've got to win more games in the final 10 games than they've managed in the previous 28. So, you know, it's never been... Football sometimes been dull, but it's never been dull being a Borough fan during Karanka's time. And for me, he had too many Mourinho characteristics, which is perhaps understandable if you've worked closely with the man and under the man, and they're still big friends. I mean, Mourinho, after the Manchester United game, couldn't help but beating his drum about how good Karanka was. Unfortunately, it's like with most managers, they're usually, despite whatever glory, you know, Arsene Wenger being a perfect example, you always tend, usually, to leave under a little bit of a cloud, no matter how much success you've had.
Yeah.
And sadly for Karanka, his rebuilding, his redesigning of the club, you know, the training, the medical side and everything that I'm told he was really, really strong on detail with. That will be forgotten by many if Borough get relegated, you know, because it was his dogmatic approach to not playing attacking football and not trying to score goals, you know. 0-0 was a perfect result for Karanka, and if we got one on the break, that was even better. And it's just amazing that, you know, Middlesbrough sell out for all their away tickets games. You know, we always take the maximum number of tickets available. You know, we've had evening kickoffs and lunchtime kickoffs with 500, 600 mile round trips, and yes. Middlesbrough still had 2,000, 3,000 fans there, you know, whatever, whenever the game was played, and the Riverside is now virtually full on every home game, and they've stood by him and they've stood by the club. The big worry is obviously if the club are relegated. It is, with the greatest respect to the Barnsleys and Prestons, or even next season possibly Fleetwoods of this world, it doesn't have the same attraction as having City, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, you know, at the Riverside. So, you know, all the good work of the 7 years that we were out of the Premiership could be somewhat, you know, wasted if you get relegated and don't come straight back again. So I think everybody will have mixed blessings. There are still some people who were sad to see him go. There was an increasing number who had got round to the state of thinking not only should he go, but perhaps he should have gone at least a couple of months ago.
Yeah, yeah. And what about in the future now, the players? I mean, obviously, whoever they bring in, they're going to need a leader and a motivator on the touchlines, but have they got enough players with them traits to get them out of this?
Well, the club, and I think this was one of the problems, the club had adopted sort of almost the European style where the club purchased the players and the coaches. The coach obviously has an input. He's asked who he wants and draws up a list, and then the club go out. Now, you know, we all want Messi and Suarez and Neymar. It's a little bit unrealistic to think that, you know, they're going to come to Cardiff City, Middlesbrough, Doncaster Rovers. You know, we've got to be realistic. But, you know, Steve Gibson has given the man everything that he wanted, that if, you know, with him being realistic. He spent money, he's brought players in that are players that can play for the club, you know, if and as and when managers, coaches, etc. change. And, you know, this is where Karanka has sort of, I don't think treads Steve Gibson very, very well, in the sense that, you know, the money that was paid for Rhodes, the money that was paid for Downing, you know, and even recently, he, I don't know what's gone wrong really with Bamford. He wanted the player, maybe not his number one choice, but he got on well with him, worked with him. And ever since he's come, he's become the new Jordan Rhodes and hasn't had a look. He has, though, brought a lot of foreign players to the club. And in some cases, more or less resurrected their careers. So the likes of Victor Valdez and Ramirez, you would imagine, should be very, very loyal to him. And, you know, there are various other Uruguayans, Stuani, Barragan, and, you know, and a few more players that he has brought to the club, and are his men. Now, when the manager leaves, there's always the question as to, you know, are those players still going to want to be here when he's moved on? I think what is the overriding factor, though, and it's money-related, is obviously which league Middlesbrough are going to be playing in next season. And sadly, if they get relegated, then probably our prize asset and, you know, one of our best players, but also Middlesbrough born and bred, you know, he bleeds Middlesbrough Football Club. He's the chairman's nephew, Ben Gibson. You know, I think he's going to go to a top six club,
yeah,
without shadow of doubt. He's only relatively young, but he looks, you know, when you think John Stones 50 million, and I do like John Stones. when Ben Gibson this season has made nowhere near as many mistakes as John Stones. So sadly, you know, the players of that sort of ability will be picked up by other clubs. Whether Victor Valdez wants to stay, whether a few of the others want to stay, only time will tell. But the club does have a good nucleus of players that have performed to a high level in the Championship, and I feel could do it again. But let's address that problem come next, you know, come the back end of May, June and July and August, and let's just hope for a miracle, because if Steve Agnew, who is an excellent coach, is liked and respected by the players, if he can get a tune out of them, and we can make, you know, the big escape, then obviously it's not a worry next season of which players are going. It's a case of keeping the best ones and spending a little bit more money so that, you know, hopefully, like, you don't want to be a Sunderland who every year is in the, you know, relegation scrap and hanging on and hanging on. You want to be slowly moving away and establishing yourself in the Premier League, like Middlesbrough did for many a long year, you know, when we won the Carling Cup and played in Europe on two occasions. But like I say, only time will tell. My personal feeling is the change should have been made a little bit earlier, because with a more attacking, adventurous approach, games, you know, you don't really expect to beat the top six. Anything you get from them is a bonus. But, you know, we've had games recently when, you know, we've played West Ham at home and away to Stoke and away to Palace. And games that, you know, if you're going to stay in the division, you should be getting points from. Sadly, those games have gone now and, you know, we're never going to get that opportunity again in those matches.
Yeah. And what about the main man then? I mean, obviously, Steve Agnew's got the baton. Do you think he can pick it up and run with it? I mean, Redknapp, Hiddink linked with it. Is there a fan's favourite at all already?
I think some of the names you see bandied about are ridiculous. And, you know, Ravanelli wants to be the manager of Middlesbrough, evidently. Well, we might as well just resign from the Premier League now and not bother going through the next 10 matches. You know, so we've had our, you know, people in the past linked with the club that have been totally unrealistic. I mean, Harry Redknapp, I don't honestly know. I mean, Harry, I work with Harry on the after dinner speaking circuit, and I honestly believe that was where his future lay. I don't really see him coming back in, so watch this space, he'll probably be in a week's time. But when you look about there, and again, it's a bit like when you talk about players, there are managers who, you know, I like David Wagner at Huddersfield, but, you know, if you're making an appointment this week, next week, the week after, someone like him, he's not going to jump ship, or you wouldn't imagine he's going to jump ship from a club that could well be in the Premier League next season and Middlesbrough in the Championship. And if you were going for certain big names, like if you wanted to improve your squad, players and managers want to know where they're going to be operating. Now, until the club made it clear that Steve Agnew was going to be given his chance, you think, well, go for somebody that has got experience, put them on a massive, give them a job till the end of the season, put them on a massive bonus if they keep them up, keep us up. And, you know, that might have been an idea, but, I mean, some of the names, like, with the greatest respect, Claudio Ranieri, I think, despite the abysmal way many people feel his tenure at Leicester came to an end, it was apparent, and it is apparent with the way Leicester have played for Craig Shakespeare, that something had gone wrong. Well, you know, if you've got a manager that can no longer command the respect of the dressing room, we've had one of them, possibly, with Karanka. So, you know, in going for someone similar, it's out of the frying pan, into the fire. We've got a manager there now, or a chief coach, who Steve Agnew, he's got games coming up that are winnable.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's as he said in his press conference after the Manchester United game, the players just need that first win. And when the first one comes, the confidence goes through the roof. Yeah. You see light at the end of the tunnel, and stranger things have happened. It would be dead easy to say the bottom three are going down, and the league table does suggest that is what's going to happen. But there's always somebody that falls and plummets, and there's always somebody that does come, as Sunderland have done for numerous years.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden, you know, we've got Arsenal at home, and you'd say, oh, well, that's a game we're going to get nothing out of. But, you know, the way Arsenal are playing at the moment, and if their top four chances have gone, by the time we go to Chelsea, Chelsea have already won the league.
Yeah.
You know, it's two or three games from the end of the season. Likewise, we go to Liverpool on the final day, and if Liverpool can't make the top four, you know, ensconced in fifth or sixth place, then those three games, you can make a case for, well, they're not all the definite defeats that you would have imagined. And apart from that, you know, we've got Southampton at home, Arsenal at home, and then that big, big week where Swansea away, Hull away, and Burnley at home in the space of 8 days. And then, of course, we've got what is probably the biggest match of the season in the North East in Premiership football, which could by the time it's played, be a dead rubber.
Yeah.
We've got Sunderland at home, and Sunderland got Newcastle relegated last season by beating them. And, I think they beat Everton. That was right. They beat Everton at home,
yeah.
And that result defeated Newcastle. So I think that would really be the sickener for the Borough if it was the Sunderland game that we actually, you know, we went down with them, so to speak. But hope springs eternal, and every football fan's the same. You always, you look at the league table and you dream, and the day you stop dreaming, you stop becoming a football, you stop being a football fan. Yeah. So, at least now with Steve Agnew, you know, if the Manchester United performance can be replicated, if the player with that passion, that drive, and, you know, trying to beat the opposition, trying to score all the time, which to me is what football's all about, then, yes, we've got a squeak. You know, we're not dead in the water. The way Karanka was playing the game, you just didn't have the confidence that, you know, we were ever gonna score a goal, let alone win a match.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's amazing. Nice, Jeff, thank you very much for coming on and speaking to us.
Not a problem, anytime.
There we are, and fingers crossed for the Borough for the rest of the season, mate.
Cheers, mate.
There we are, don't have it. So there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much to Jeff Winter for joining us.
Excellent interview, Ash.
Fantastic interview.
Loved that interview.
Getting that fans' point of view from the terraces from Jeff the Ref Winter.
As I said, I totally agree with everything he said.
Totally agree with him.
Totally agree.
Can't help you with that, can you?
Yeah.
And still to come later, we got an ex-pro's point of view, Middlesbrough legend, Dean Gordon.
Right, Dean Gordon!
We'll be...
legend!
We'll be talking through his views on the situation at Borough and how he sees them going as well. So, there we are. As it is half-time, we will bring in old Seamus Plugs.
Go on, then.
To tell us all things V2 football. Seamus? Plugging is good, no plugging is bad. Are you here, Seamus? Hello now, boys! Here we go now, boys. How are you doing? How are we doing, boys?
Not too bad, Seamus. How are you this week?
I'm not too bad. No, I've stayed off the beer this week now, boys.
You did not celebrate St. Patrick's Day on...
I can't do it, boys.
It's a bit Irish, anyone. Did you not celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
You're sounding more Irish than Seamus.
You're not even supposed to do that.
No, I can't do it.
Did you not celebrate St. Patrick's Day on a Friday, no?
I can't do it, boys. I can't. To be honest with you, the last 2 weeks, I've been in O'Driscoll's constantly, 24/7, 14 days, you know. And I couldn't do any more. I had to go on a strict detox then, boys, you know. I couldn't do any more.
What? Detox of what, Guinness?
Detox of Guinness and Irish dancing, boys. I had enough.
Irish dancing.
My legs are gone, boys.
Flatly, we haven't had him on the show for a while.
Aye, he said, boys, he's a bit disappointed now.
Well, he's real guests that do with football, no?
Senior guests, I know.
Jeff Winters didn't go down.
But boys, he's a bit of... you can't just shun these guests who made you, you know. It's the same with Mr. Jurgen Klinsmann now, boys. You know, he's missing you, boys, you know. Ashley hasn't even, you know, sent him a little text or nothing, boys. So, you know, get on it. But, yes, I'm here to talk all things V2 football, boys. And if you want to get on there, v2football.com. They're on the Twitter as well. And this week, a cracking article, not article, interview.
Yeah?
Yeah. With...
with who? Ask with who? Tell us, please. Don't keep us in suspense.
Paul Parker, of all people.
Paul Parker,
Paul
legend.
Paul Parker, ex-fullback, matches like the Fulham Queen's Park, right?
What a legend.
England legend. So, yes. So, check that. Absolutely fantastic, listen. And another little interview there with, on an article wise on the v2football.com with Newport County disability striker Luke de Gilbert, who talks through all his football goings on of late and what he's doing in the future. And of course, lost it.
You lost it there, Shane, wasn't you? Come on. Don't let Guinness and get your Irish back.
You can't do it. I'm on the detox now. Sorry. If you want to go on the V2Football, the other podcast, of course, the 72 show featuring Paul Parker again.
Paul Parker.
We're getting our money's worth out of him now because he's on there talking about Derby with Steve McLaren. He used to be the coach of the Derby and work with McLaren as well. And the guys from Liquid Football join the boys as well to talk all things Football League. And of course, the V2Football podcast, all things football. The stories from around the world, and you know, little quiz and things, and this, that, and the other.
Don't forget the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy one.
The Hipster's Guide to the Galaxy, I think you're referring to there, Al. That's what you're referring to. And of course, as the boys said earlier, the brand new sponsor, Art of Football. So that's it, that's me, boys, that's me out. And I've got to go and take some now Irish accent tablets now I've had from the Poundland.
Take my Irish accent tablets.
I think you're going to have a little overdose of those now, boys. Because he's gone. He's absolutely gone. So I'm out, boys. Thank you very much, Seamus.
Top to the morning to you and the rest of the day for yourself.
I tell you what it is. What? I don't know, it's because he's you know, he's been in Wales for quite a long time now.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
You know, like, what's her name, EastEnders? Vicky. The accent's going,
yeah.
I think he's turning a bit Welsh, yeah.
Yeah. A bit like you, son.
Oh, it is.
Because you've been in Wales for a pretty long time. I've noticed you saying...
Over 20 years,
You've spent more time in Wales than England.
I have indeed, Liz, yeah. And I may sound Welsh, but I am indeed English born and bred. So it's just that they got me.
They got me,
Liz, yeah.
When I first met you.
Someone come and save me. They got me.
When I first met you, you were like, oh, go blimey, governor.
Go blimey, go.
Stone the crows, look at this.
Stone the crows.
And then you're like, no, dude. Do bach, and all that.
Do bach, where's my Welsh rabbit? No.
Joyo,
very much indeed.
You say so, like Pontfrey de Len and to the bandy.
So, yes, ladies and gentlemen.
I've just been up the Lampeter. This week, why you bach?
Right.
You talk like that now, you do.
I do indeed.
I was up to Aldous Smith, and I had to pop all the way down to Fish Head.
But we will mention again, as Shea said at the end, artoffootball.com, our new sponsors. They're on Twitter. Facebook, Instagram. Oh, love it. Rock it out, Al. Rock it out. Yes, as we mentioned before, handcrafted designs that emulate the beauty of those split-second moments.
Not long now, they'll take away that Akin Fenwa bench press and the Lion one.
Oh, because limited edition, Al.
Limited edition.
You keep interrupting my spiel, Al.
I don't know if you notice, Ash, but I do it every single week.
I know you do, Al. It's actually quite annoying.
Is it?
Yeah, but they get their moments that you just don't forget you know, they capture the energy, the passion, the euphoria.
Ben Jones squeezing Gaz's balls.
Yes,
one.
Yes, they're up. I don't even know what style you interrupt me again. Eh? you know, the magical kicks of a football that you see that stick in your mind. So limited a number of each design as well because, you know, it's a piece of art at the end of the day. So completely original, exclusive. Get on it. Get yourself an exclusive Ash and Al 10% discount with the promo code Ash and Al. It's the and symbol, Ash and Al. So get on there, fill your basket up, and, you know.
I tell you what
spend
design
your money.
I want.
Spend your money.
Tell you what design I
Go
want.
On.
Trevor Sinclair, Owen Click.
I think it's on it. They've got it. They've got it.
Click.
They've got
Owen
it.
Click. Is it?
Yes.
I must have missed that when I was scrolling through the pages.
Oh, it's beautiful. Where's the end? It's Q, isn't it? You know what I mean? You stopped at M for the Borough Centre.
Yeah, I stopped for the Borough, yeah. Stopped Ran early.
Stopped at B for Borough.
Juninho crying. After they got relegated.
Was that Leeds, I believe, was it? Was it Leeds?
Yeah, Leeds, yeah.
Remember that. Always remember that.
Yeah, played at Ellen's Road.
But yes, yeah, so check all them out. And we will kick off quickly with the second half of our review. Where's your kazoo, Al?
Kazoo's in.
Oh, Al, don't slack now. Chris Evans will take over us on the kazoo front. We shall have a kazoo every minute of the show from now on. There we are. There's the start of our second half Premier League review.
Fuck it, Sam. I'm going to get the other two kazoos.
Five kazoos?
Five kazoos in
it
my mouth.
It can't be done. It can't be done, Al.
Five kazoos in my mouth at one time.
Now, I've seen five things in your mouth before, but never kazoos. It can't be done.
Slimer.
Look at that.
You don't forget, son.
Hey,
I got a weird jaw. I can click my jaw. I got a python's jaw.
If I were looking at it, I swear a P&O ocean liner would have just pulled up outside your house there.
That's fine. Take a picture, son. Take a picture.
Wait a minute, son.
Five kazoos.
Let me get my iPhone 6S ready, son.
Ah, no. You want to get? You want to take a picture of my Samsung Galaxy S7?
Five kazoos. The picture's done, ladies and gentlemen. We should put.
Do another one there.
So you can count them. So I can count them. Could you look any less strained now? Just lifting your arm up. You're only lifting your arm up, Al. There we are.
Hang on. We'll do one in my gob.
Not sure people want to see that, but... this is what happened live on the Ash and Al Premier League podcast on V2 Football.
Did you take it, Sam? Did you take
it? Yeah, got it, yeah.
I even broke out the jazz hands.
We shall post them later on, ladies and gentlemen, of the five kazoo Trump blow, was it? Five kazoo blows? I don't know what we call it. I can't think of anything that rhymes up.
We just broke the record, eh?
Yeah.
Next week, we'll go for six.
Six, we will, son. Get on eBay, son. Hey. Get buying another 100.
The only thing is, listeners, keep it to yourself, don't tell my jaw specialist, because I got a fucked up jaw. I'm not really allowed to open my jaw.
No, he's not, ladies and gentlemen. He shouldn't do it.
I shouldn't really do stuff like that. So, keep it secret, anyway.
Keep it on the down low. Does she follow us on Twitter?
Dr. Jay Jones, yeah.
Oh, does she? She's going to see the picture, sir.
Fuck's sake.
Tag her in it. How are you up?
She'll be, I got her next week. She'll be like, see you on Twitter. Why is your jaw wide open? What's the matter with you? I don't know if she told me I got to have days where I don't talk.
Is it?
Rest my jaw.
If I saw a picture of that, the first question I'd ask, Al, is you've got five kazoos, why haven't you given me one? That would be my first question, Al.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that, actually.
Jaw specialist or not, I would ask that. We'll crack on, because we diverse quite a lot on this show, ladies and gentlemen. If you've never listened to us before, you know, we talk about football quite a lot, but we like to get in a bit of life chat as well.
We talk about football about 15%.
Yeah, life and laughs the same.
Shits and giggles the rest.
Yes. Got to have a bit of fun, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to kick on with our second half of the review. Still to come, interview with Dean Gordon, Barrow legend.
Barrow legend!
One of Al's favourite players of all time.
Lovely, seen him play.
Against Bradford. Yeah. Everyone you've seen play was against Bradford.
No, from that era.
Obviously,
I've seen him...
What else have we got to come though, Al? Where's Roy? Where's Roy now? He's not in Norwich. Great, get in there, Roy. And, of course, the Baymac quiz.
Baymac quiz
was what I'm leading. But, yes. We will kick on with the second half. And it's down to Dean Cole. Bournemouth 2, Swansea 0. Morrison on goal. Bennett
the Fulby. The week I put him in my dream team, he scores an own goal.
You didn't, did you?
Yep.
Schoolboy, son, schoolboy. Swansea, a couple of bad results now though, slipping back down into 17th, 27 points. We laugh at Swansea quite a lot on this show because
we
live quite next to the stadium in Swansea.
We live 5 minutes away
and
walking distance.
Ladies and gentlemen, you will not believe the chaos involving parking on match day.
Yeah.
And it is not good if you're a local resident, it gets you fuming. So
the chaos they make.
Yes.
And the fact that the stadium is right next to a massive shopping centre.
Yeah.
And the fact that the roundabout where the stadium is,
Yeah.
They're making a bypass.
Yeah, roadworks.
And the roadwork is shutting everything else down, so it's a nightmare.
So anyway, yes, we diverse again onto the
foot. We don't get this shit with the Ospreys, though, do we?
No, you don't get many fans. You only get about 5,000 fans.
I know, they don't ever advertise.
Which is
I should go down.
Which is double what Swans had.
After you when they're in the championship, Spain, they haven't got no fans.
No, that's right. There's half their fans. Half them fans. But Bournemouth, a couple of good wins now. Looking safe now. Back to safe because they were dropping.
Glad they safe.
Yeah, clean sheet for them. First one for a while. Back to good form there in the defence. But up to 11th now.
That's the second win on the trot.
Second win on the trot.
Because the king.
Yeah, hat trick last week, didn't it? So, home as well. So, their home form now is picking up a bit again. And it's seen them safe now. They should be well out of that trouble now with 10 games to go. Only need really 5 points to secure. But we'll move on then. As we talked before there with Jeff, we'll allude to a bit more with Dean Gordon. Middlesbrough, come on the Borough!
Come on the Borough!
Against Manchester United today. So
no one can crank it anymore, son.
No, crank is gone.
He's fucked up our little routine
now. I'm going to crack on with it, son. That's the only... Steve Agnew! Doesn't work.
Like I said, I totally agree with Jeff, and he said that it was time for him to go.
Yeah.
I was a bit when I read news on Monday. I was actually came breaking news.
Yeah.
I was in the house. I was like, oh... I didn't feel, oh no, we got rid of him. I was like, actually, I'm relieved because.
I think everyone thought it was time. Yeah. No one would have been surprised if it was a month or two earlier.
Yeah, I texted you tonight with news and he got me back, back late and I said, look, I think he should have gone when he walked out of the club.
Yep, and something.
Against Charlton game, was a Charlton thing.
Yeah. So.
Me personally, but as Jeff Winter said. It's Jeff Winter.
Jeff the ref.
Fantastic
chat. That was fair. He knows his stuff there, does he? Knows his onions. Knows his onions.
Great man.
Strange man. Cranking. Strange.
I thought you were going to have a go, Jeff.
No, Jeff.
Cranking, yeah.
As you said, like Mourinho.
Yeah, he's a, you know.
Mourinho offspring and.
His mould, out of his mould, and he definitely. So. But Fellaini, link Jesse, paint a picture of how it's going to be. Yeah. Jesse Lingard and Valencia for Manchester United. And the good news now, Barra scored a goal. Rudy.
I wasn't expecting us to win today.
No.
I wasn't, but I think we're going
to... But it was more about the performance today and to see how that he could turn it round and look a bit more intent.
I was out today.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see the game.
Yeah.
So I did hear, like, we were looking a lot better.
Yeah. All reports say they had a go. They had a good go. You know, a bit more creativity sort of thing.
As I said, as Jeff said about the players leaving as well, I think Valdez will be going because his contract's up, I think.
Yeah, and he tweeted out a very good message to Karank and he said, no one else gave me a chance in football. You brought me back into the game sort of thing. So, he's going to go, isn't he? Whether they stay up or not, really, I think it looks like...
I don't mind if he goes because he has lost that...
Yeah, I mean...
He's been good, but he hasn't been...
No.
Victor Valdez or Barcelona. In his long hair.
No, he hasn't been someone like that. Like, if you look at other clubs down there, like Sunderland, Pickford's emergence this season, you know, if Borough had someone like that in goals, in the sticks, they would have maybe been 4 or 5 points better off.
Yeah.
Definitely. Valdez, he hasn't really had them.
Valdez and our backup keeper's bloody Guzman, who's going as well.
Yeah.
He signed off, I think he signed for Atlanta.
Brave Guzman, mate.
And then we got Dimitri.
Stop a double liberal. From the lash from Birds of a Feather's husband, that isn't it?
But
He's not saved in points, is he? He's not won in points like other keepers, like Pickford probably won some a good 7-8 points over the season. And if he was someone like that, you know. But we'll see how they do now after the international break.
Fingers crossed for the Barra, everyone.
We'll move on then.
I don't want him to go down. Personally, I don't want him to go down.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so because you're a Barra fan.
Yeah. You know, it's not going to 7 years to get there. get back.
It was a long slog as well.
And the championship. It's a long I said before, it's a better league.
It is.
Like you barely holding on in the championship. I noticed Ipswich, they're not far off the relegation, are they?
Yeah, just about stay up, they will. That's what we do, man. That's what we are now, mid-table each season.
Mid-table? They're not even mid-table?
Yeah, they'll finish, you know. Top of the bottom half.
Top of the bottom half, yeah. It's not the Scottish League, son.
No. Split it. Just want to win something, man. But yeah, we'll move on to White Hart Lane. Spurs 2, Southampton 1. Eriksen and Dele Alli from the spot. Ward Prowse for Southampton, celebrating England call-up. He was, yeah, wasn't he?
Was Gabardini. I heard Gabardini went off injured.
I think he did.
It's a bad injury because I also put him in my dream team this week.
Oh, you're joking, Al. You had a nightmare, son.
Two players are put in, the Gabardini, 4 million.
There we are. Who will Barrow play next? Swans. Get the Swans team in there, son. They'll go down then. But yeah, Spurs coped. Quite well without Harry Kane, of course, out for a good 4 or 5 weeks or whatever it is.
It's Harry Kane. I am one of her own.
But Ali with another goal, continues fantastic season. And Eriksen with a goal as well. He's just such a class player, Eriksen. We've said it before.
Yeah, we're big fans of Christian Eriksen.
He'd walk into any team in the world, I think. Yeah. Barcelona and Real Madrid included. He's that good, man. And for...
I can see him going to Real.
Oh, I can't remember who tweeted out earlier. Someone's talking about him, and I said, you know, 11 million they bought him for. That's got to be one of the Premiership bargains in today's money.
God,
the bargains of the last 10-15 years. One of the biggest bargains from the Premier League. Such a good player. But yes, so Spurs stay second, I think.
Yeah.
After the Manchester City draw, Southampton in 10th.
That's where they're finishing, I think. Tottenham, second in the league.
You think?
Yeah.
Nah, I think Man U will.
Really? I hope so.
I hope
Man United get in the Champions League, actually.
They'll get in the Champions League. I think they'll finish second.
I really hope Man United will get in the Champions League.
I think they will, because they've got a couple of games in hand.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
One game in hand on most, 2 games on Liverpool, maybe.
Yeah, they got 2, I think. Let me check. I think
I can see them easily getting there. Because if they win that game or two games, they're only 4 points behind Tottenham or City.
So we've got Tottenham second, 10 points behind Chelsea, Man City third. They had a bad week, didn't they?
Yep.
Pep Guardiola.
Not so easy, Pep.
Liverpool are fourth with 56, and Man United are fifth with 52, but they've got... 2 games in hand at Liverpool.
Yeah.
And Arsenal as well got 2 games in hand at Liverpool.
Yeah. So it's going to be... And Manchester United, as we said, they're in 5th now.
Yeah.
As we said. So that's got to be fantastic news. They're not 6th for the first time in 2 years.
Mind you, Chelsea, Tottenham, Man City have got game in hand at Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
Man United and Arsenal got 2 games. I think Liverpool will not be...
Well, they're not scoring enough goals, are they? They haven't got that striker. Sturridge isn't doing... Coutinho, Firmino, they're not strikers, are they?
No.
You know what I mean? They're the free role, attacking, creative players. But they're not out-and-out strikers. Like, you look at someone like Kane, and Costa, and Lukaku. You know, these players...
out-and-out
strikers. They're not these players like Sanchez, however good he is. He's one of them who plays... He'll play in any position across the front three or, you know, just behind or whatever. You know, so you can't really define him as a striker. But these players like Kane, Lukaku, Costa, they're just out and out. That's their sole focus. They obviously play well for the team and link up and contribute, you know, with the attacking play. But the goals they produce, because their sole focus is when we have the ball, you know,
attack.
Get the goal, get the simple as that, you know what I mean? Whereas a lot of, you know, you look at a lot of other teams.
Now, I've got still potentially going to see the last game of the season in Anfield against Middlesbrough.
Are you? Yes.
Potentially still.
Ooh.
Going, so hopefully.
Don't cause any arguments now, Al.
I'll take it. Fucking on, sir. I'll have my Barrow jersey on. You know me, I'm not scared.
No, I mean before, because they won't let you go, son. No, he's not having a ticket. Get Ash on here. Get Ash. Ash will come.
Hopefully it's not a last game of the season and we're not relegated before.
Well,
and we're safe.
Hopefully it's safe because 30 points.
Yeah, 30 points from the last
30 10 points games. From the last 10, I think you'll be safe, yeah. I'll be honest with you, you're right now.
I think so, yeah.
I think you'll be safe. But you don't wanna Liverpool, like, you don't wanna have to go there to win.
Yeah.
at the end of the
year. Yeah, Liverpool trying to get in the Champions League.
Exactly, so it's going to be tough. And we will go on to Liverpool now. Last game of the weekend, of Sunday. Manchester City 1, Liverpool 1. Milner from the penalty spot and Aguero for Man City.
Weird, strange game that turned out to be.
A lot of strange
misses, Adam Lallana.
It was end to end. Lallana, as you said, Mr. Sita, you know, they just couldn't score. Aguero should have had a trick.
Gay porno.
We can see that now. We've done it now.
Gay porno. It's not wrong saying gay porno, is it?
No, there's not, though. There's not at all. You're right. Oh. But, yeah, so Manchester City won. Liverpool, as you said, missed chances for both sides.
Fair enough.
Could have ended up 2 each, 3 each, 4 each.
Back the couple I lent you.
No. but, yeah, so Manchester City stay third. Liverpool fourth. Did we say? Stay in the top four, but obviously Arsenal, Manchester City, no, Manchester United fifth,
mate. Yeah, fourth.
But Manchester United and Arsenal are going to be right up there. Right up there, Jaxie, with their games in hand.
Right up there.
And that is Get Them Five Kazoos Ready, Al. That is full time. On the... That was the best one I had. On the... Chris Evans can't do that. I tell you now.
N-E-F-U-C-K.
He can't do that. That's full time on our Premier League review. So, ladies and gentlemen, still to come. Great interview
with Alan, sir.
Barra legend. What we do? We play it, son. You going? Oh, go on.
I just made
it. Oh, is it? Yeah. I was trying to guess, but you couldn't do it. Big.
Yeah?
Oh,
I do. Not only I can play the guitar, I can rock the shit out of a kazoo.
Oh, and you can, Sam. And you can. Yeah, Borough legend, Dean Gordon coming up, talking all things Borough. And
all things bright and Borough.
See if we can get his views on that.
Fabrizio Ravanelli.
Oh, Crystal Palace, of course. He played for Crystal Palace. So see if
yeah, Palace boy, isn't he?
Get his views on that as well.
Did you? Did you?
What?
Get his views.
Views?
Views.
What views?
Of Crystal Palace.
We'll find out now. We'll find out now. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, very special guest, Mr. Dean Gordon.
Hello.
How you, Dean?
Oh, how you doing?
How you doing? Yeah, good, good. You okay?
Yes, no problem.
So, yeah, before we get into the middle, so you, last time you spoke, you were heavily involved with futsal up in the northeast. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I am. I'm running some futsal leagues at the moment. I've been running them for about 4.5 years. It was kind of put to me about 5 years ago. And obviously, I was quite interested straight away. And I knew it wasn't big in this country, but obviously in South America, Spain, I knew it was part of the culture there. And a lot of the current professionals and ex-superstars, you know, Pelés and players like that have come through futsal, so I knew it was good for development, so I thought, you know, I'd give it a go, and it has grown from strength to strength in the last few years, and a few kids have come from it. I've gone into academies, and kids that play it semi-regularly have really improved, gone into football, and parents have seen the difference, so for me, it's a bit of a no-brainer to help develop kids' skills. It's also good for fitness because the game's so fast. Pass and move. So it's been quite a good success at the moment. So long may it continue.
Yeah, and for the future for that, I mean, obviously you said it's been the norm in other countries for quite a while. Do you see it becoming the norm over here, or you know?
It's definitely getting bigger.
Yeah,
it's definitely getting big, especially in the northeast. There's clubs popping up quite regularly. The FA are pushing it. They're running tournaments, leagues. There's national tournaments for kids as well as adults. So it's definitely getting bigger. I am pushing futsal as much as I can. As I said before, a lot of kids are improving off the back of it.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it should be pushed a little bit more from the FA.
Yeah.
From the FA. I know the academies, during a couple of the winter months, December and January, played tournaments through the Premier League. So, you know, futsal is, it is recognised. I just think it needs to be pushed a little bit more. And like I say, I've come across a couple of kids who I've introduced futsal to who have gone on to play academies. Mm-hmm. And also a couple of players that play in my leagues on a Friday have been picked up by academies as well. So people are coming to watch because it's such a quick game that if you show that you're technically gifted, quick, the standard of my leagues is quite high as well. You know, I've got a couple of academy players, I've got players that like development centres, so the standard is quite high. So kids are coming in and doing really well and getting picked up. So that's fantastic for me and fantastic for them. And the parents are giving up their time. So hopefully it will continue to grow. I do like futsal as a sport in itself because it is different to football.
Yeah.
And it will grow more and more. And I think clubs will pick it up and play kind of semi-regularly, semi-professional. So we just have to watch the space.
Yeah. And for what you're involved in, is there a website or anything out there that people can go and have a look at?
Yeah. Promotivate, is my own website.
Yeah.
promotiv8.com.
Okay.
So I'm involved, like I said, the futsal. I'm doing coaching myself, football coaching, mentoring. I've recently become a football agent. So the whole thing is kind of combined because one of the kids that I represent, I found in one of my futsal leagues about 3 years ago.
Right.
Obviously, he went into an academy and then he's recently turned professional. So there's definitely a link there for me. And as I said, like in South America, it's so big. The Agüeros, the Cacas, all these Argentinians and Brazilians you see, they've all grown up playing futsal. So for me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah. Right, so quickly then, we'll go on to Middlesbrough. The big news the last week, out to Karanka Lee then. Do you think he had to go, really? 10 games without a win? It was writing on the wall, really, wasn't it?
I'm surprised he didn't go a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
You know, there was a bit of rift between him and some of the players.
Hmm.
It's been mentioned, him and Stuart Downing didn't get on very well.
Yeah.
The type of football he was playing, it wasn't very attacking, quite boring to watch.
Hmm.
Hadn't scored a goal since January until today. So the writing was on the wall. I know he's done fantastic getting the club up.
Yeah.
But I think he took the club as far as he could. And it was time for a change. So, you know, I think Steve Gibson, who's very loyal, a fantastic chairman, was seeing that a change needed to be made. And it's been made. So I know they played a lot better today, listening to it on the radio. They even scored a goal for the first time, like I said, since January.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might change quickly enough for them to stave off relegation.
Yeah, quickly, I mean, we went to the rifts with the players. I mean, in the modern day, everyone says about player power. Is there sort of, there's really no coming back for that nowadays sort of thing?
No, whenever you hear about a manager losing their dressing room, normally it's the manager that leaves.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't sack players.
Mm.
You can sack managers. It's a results game, and the managers are judged on their results. And if they don't get results, they normally lose their job. And this has happened at Middlesbrough. So you know, a few changes has been made.
Mm.
Hopefully they'll turn the corner. But with the likes of Crystal Palace and Swansea's and the Hulls, they're all picking up points. So you know, they need to start winning soon. Else, you know, it's going to get to a point where it won't be in their hands, and it will be up to other teams ahead of them to lose game before Middlesbrough can win them.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, boring to watch, quite defensive. I mean, we got into the attack in a moment, but I mean, just how hard you were defending yourself. How hard is it for a manager to organise a defence in the way he did? You know, very very hard to break down.
Yeah, Middlesbrough, you know, last season when they got promotion, they had a very strong defence.
Yeah.
They came into the Premier League again. I knew they would have a strong defence. I knew their problem would be scoring goals.
Mm.
And obviously, the Chelsea's and any team that wins the Premier League is based on a good, strong defence.
Yeah.
Karanka built a good, strong defence, but not much of an attacking threat, which, you know, in the end will catch up with you, which it has done. They're not conceding many goals, but they're not scoring any, so they're either drawing or they're losing, you know, by the odd goal. It is the main part of a team, the defence, but as you know, it's difficult to, if you've got a strong defence, to then find a way to score goals. Normally you need good attacking fullbacks and get forward to try and support the midfield and the forwards. They've got some good strikers, they've brought in some good strikers, but it doesn't sound like they were much support and much quality into the centre forwards. But today it sounded like, you know, they created a few chances, so, you know, they might have turned the corner, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is creating a chance. It was almost like defensively absolutely great setup, but it was almost like it didn't really have a game plan going forward and creativity.
Yeah, normally, obviously, when you go forward, normally you need midfielders bombing forward, you need, like I said, fullbacks going forward, crosses into the box, and it sounded like they had a couple of sitting midfielders. I haven't watched them that many times this season, but it sounds like a couple of sitting midfielders and not really pressing forward to try and cause the other team a problem. Weren't creating many chances, which means he's kind of playing it safe, probably too safe. I think if you want to try and stay up in the Premier League, you need to try and push forward and try and score some goals, especially with two or three strikers that have brought in. Bamford came in, so you need to push forward to try and create something for them to feed on.
Yeah, and we mentioned at the start 10 games without a win. I mean, as a player, to go on a run like that, how confidence draining is that, and is it easy to pick up when there is a personnel change in terms of management?
It's you know, the Premier League's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to tell you that. It's difficult. Teams sometimes can start well the first half of the season, they could do well, and then they can drop like a stone in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
It is difficult psychologically. Once you're down in the bottom six, you're always looking behind you to see what's going on instead of ahead.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to focus on each game as they come, look to try and win as many games as possible. If anything, try not to lose. Pick up the odd point in draws, but, you know, once you get down into the bottom three and you look at the number of games you've got left, it becomes, you're playing under pressure. And that's more difficult to play under pressure when you've got relegation, you're in a relegation fight and you're fighting for points.
Yeah.
So it does become more difficult. If you're sitting mid-table, you can kind of relax and play your football. So it does become more difficult, but, you know, it's one of those where you've just got to, everyone's got to focus on the football, and you know, 2 or 3, 4 months, just focus on your team, your teammates, and just trying to, you know, keep the team in the Premier League.
Yeah, you've mentioned some upcoming fixtures. You've got the international break coming up, and then it's Swansea, Hull, and Burnley on the bounce. I mean, are there any less than 9 points from those? Do you think they're gone?
I think you need 4 points at least.
Yeah.
You want six. but those are the games that you need to win.
Yeah.
I know, living in Sunderland, the last 3 years they've been in a relegation fight where they've survived by beating Chelsea's and the Man City's.
Yeah.
Beating the bigger teams and, you know, not doing so well against the lesser sides. So if you can pick up teams against your nearest rivals, especially in the relegation fight, as you know, it's called a 6-point, and it is literally a 6-pointer. So those games, you need at least 4 points, preferably six, and then, you know, you go from there.
Yeah. And what about the management, do you think? I mean, Agnew's a caretaker at the moment. As you said, looked a bit more attacking threat today and looked more pressing. Do you think he's the man? I know Redknapp and Hiddink, the link, could be just gossip, but who do you think could go in there and do the job?
I think at the moment, Steve's in there, Steve Agnew's in there.
Yeah.
He's been at the club a long time. He knows the players. He knows what's needed, and I think sounded like, you know, they did a little bit better today. I think, you know, the longer you leave it, the more difficult it becomes for someone to come in for, you know, 7-8 games to try and turn things around. If someone comes in, they need to come in literally soon. Sounds like to me that Steve might be left in there to deal with it, but then again, there might be Harry Redknapp might come in, someone else might come in, and for the last few games, which obviously has happened at previous clubs in the Premier League in Premier League history, Gus Hiddink, you know, whether he'll come to Middlesbrough, who knows. But, you know, running out of games, you need to start winning games. So, you know, whoever goes in there, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we said he was expected to go, but are you shocked if 10 games to go and there's not a plan in place to have a man come in?
I was surprised it was done on Thursday.
Yeah.
Two days before a Premier League game.
Yeah.
Maybe he was sacked before that, but it wasn't given to the press till Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one's left to come in. Maybe he's thought Steve's the man to do the job.
Yeah.
Knowing the players, it can be easier to deal with a team if you know the players and you've been around the players for as long as Steve has. But, you know, I think he's got the confidence of the players. I think it'd be good if you leave him in there. Like I said, they did well today. Three big, massive games coming up. If he does well there, you never know. He might even get the job permanently.
Yeah, yeah. And then quickly, you want to go to another one of your former clubs, Crystal Palace. I mean, Big Sam's got in there now. He's taking a bit of time, but three wins now, clean sheets. Is this a turnaround now? Do you see them pulling away?
He's going to get the nickname Houdini, isn't he? Yeah. He never gets relegated. He always seems to get a team out of the relegation zone. And
yeah.
After Sullivan went there, won 4-0.
Yeah.
And they're really poor. You're thinking maybe this is the one that gets away from him, but you know, three wins in a row without conceding a goal. He's obviously gone in there and sewn up the back four, which he's really good at. He's got a history of improving defences.
Mm.
He did the same with Sunderland when he was here. So he's done fantastic. I mean, three wins in a row, it sounds like they're going to get out of it. The team will be on a high, full of confidence, scoring a couple of goals. Even though yesterday when they won 1-0, they didn't actually hit the target, I heard.
Mm.
It was an own goal, which is where the goal came from. But it's gone in there, and obviously, it's got Patrick Van Aanholt in at left back. He scored a couple of goals, even though he didn't play yesterday. He's come in and hit the ground running. So, you know, he seems to got the faith of the players, and they're starting to play for him. So, you know, it sounds like to me they're going to get out of it. Swansea have been doing well.
Yeah.
Hull have even picked up a few points, even though they lost yesterday.
Mm.
So it could be one of those, you know, the bottom three that's in there now going to struggle.
Yeah.
Hull are picking up a few points. It's going to be tight. I know Sunderland have got Watford next. They've also got Swansea at home coming up.
Mm.
They've got Man United in the next home game. So, you know, it's going to be tight, and it's going to go to the final couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, that's brilliant, Dean. Thank you very much for talking to us.
No problem.
Hope to speak to you again, and good luck with everything on the futsal front.
Yeah, thanks very much. Cheers.
Brilliant, thank you.
Amazing, thank you very much, Dean. Coming on, absolutely great talking to him, getting his views on the Barra.
Cow Barra with Dunting Gordon.
And,
excellent. Honour to listen to.
There we are, sir. As we said, there we are. So, pleasure to have these two Barra people connections Barra, on the show. Yeah. It's a Barra special.
Barra. Double Barra. Double Barra.
We've done triple Barra with you, sir.
Yeah, I know.
Triple Barra. Jesus, there we are. So,
and I'm wearing my lucky, say where and it's inserted my lucky Barra butt plug.
Yeah. Does it keep dropping out, was that?
Yeah. Bottom keeps dropping out.
Keep dropping down, son. Oh, well. So everything called Barra has scored this season. So
yeah.
Boom. Right, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to... we got another special guest. Our usual guest now this week. Obviously, with our usual guest, of course, we speak to him every week. As we say, we get thousands and thousands of letters asking us, what's happened to Roy? Where's Roy?
Roy Hodgson, of course, we're talking about,
ladies and gentlemen.
Where?
So, we found out the last few weeks where he's been. Let's find out again this week where he is. So, as we say, Roy, where are you now?
Hello, Reds. This week I'm rock pooling off the coast of Reykjavik.
Amazing. There we are. Thank you very much, Roy.
Next week I'm up in the Riverside.
in the cell.
Yeah, getting ready with Rudy Gestedt.
Oh, there's an exclusive for you there, ladies and gentlemen.
The Riverside.
Roy's on the way, so thank you very much, Roy. Speak to you next week, maybe.
Cheers, boys, I'll see you next week.
There we are, fantastic. And that was Where's Roy Now?
Rock pooling off the coast of Reykjavik.
So now,
Iceland, that is.
I know, certainly know. So,
yeah, we're
at the finale. At the finale, yeah.
Helsinki, Finland.
Helsinki, Finland, man.
Helsinki, Finland.
You always have the Winter Olympics there.
Oslo, Norway. Do you know what Oslo used to be called? Capital city of Norway used to be called
something. Don't do Savile. You nearly did, son.
I do Gary Glenn and stuff. Do you know what it used to be called?
What's that?
Christina.
Is it really? Yeah. Why did they change that there?
I don't know.
It's a good one, isn't it? Jordan, I suppose, isn't it?
Oslo.
Can fit on a t-shirt, can you?
Because they're massive fans of Keeping Up Appearances. And they want to recognise Oslo.
He was in my head, I was trying to, how can I fit that in? Fair play to you, Al, you've got it in, son. But we are in this now, Al. This is a showstopper of all showstoppers now.
What's the score, lads?
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you've had a treat this week. You've had a Premier League review. You've had Jeff Winter.
Proper show this week,
proper
haven't I?
Show. You've had Seamus Plugs here. You've had Dean Gordon, the legend that is Dean Gordon. Where's Roy now? And now, the world-famous beer mat quiz.
Liquid refreshment can leave its mark on the table. Coasters come between the glass and that. Quiet!
Pop quiz, hot shot. Heat is on. The time is right. It's time for you. For you to build your game. People are coming. Everyone's trying.
And I'm leading 5-3 out.
And even you know when I was in Poland, Katowicek? I was in a little area, food, you know, coffee, good. You know, what's it called?
Vodka, sir?
No.
Cafe?
Cafe. I was in the square in the cafe.
Yeah.
And a little umbrella. And I heard, overheard two Italian boys.
Oh, yeah.
French, sorry. French, I was getting confused. Have you heard the word famous? Be my quiz, as you know. I was dying to turn around, didn't you? Yeah.
I'm the owl.
But I thought, no, I'm on all day. I don't want to be mugged.
No,
you know,
have you
autographs.
Won't leave you in peace, otherwise.
Pierre and Cognac wants an autograph.
Cognac.
I got confused with Italians because Italians were in Auschwitz when I went to see Auschwitz.
Yeah.
A lot of Spaniards.
Yeah.
A lot of school trips. A lot of school trips with my friend.
Rightly so. Can't forget our history, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so it is world famous because it's listed in France.
Happy days. Well, there we are, we're reaching global audience. So,
my sister, she went to Papua New Guinea last week. Right? And she said to me, I was in the bar in Papua New Guinea, and they were talking about the BMAC quiz.
Was it?
That's world famous BMAC quiz.
That's why we call it world famous. We're not just throwing words out there, you know, these are
false advertising.
No, we don't do that. Not like Chris Evans, who apparently came up with this kazoo idea. Anyway, beer mat quiz.
My auntie, she was in New Caledonia, all right, in the Pacific Islands, and she was in the bar, and she also said,
yeah,
we were talking about the world famous beer mat quiz. No, New Caledonia, son, that's a tropical island, right by Fiji.
World famous, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. And not just that, we found out that a lot of Al's family spend time in bars.
Yeah, big drinkers. Well, you know, it's Greek, isn't it?
Oh. But yes, it's a world famous beer mat quiz. I don't know if I told you. Try again. I'm winning 5-3!
5-3.
Episode 6. This is, I haven't had a question wrong. Every question I've had right this season. Episode 6. I won 5, you're 3, Al. So it could be a turning point now.
Turning.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we've never heard it before. The premise is we have an unlimited amount of beer mats each with 4 questions on each. Football questions, of course. We pick a card each, ask one of the question, I hope you get yours right. I hope they get theirs wrong. Simple as that. And you picked that one.
I picked this one.
And I will pick this one here. I don't know why, but I'm doing it. Mexican Wave. Happy days. I haven't done a Mexican Wave for years. Huh? Not a Dirty Sanchez, but... So, ladies and gentlemen, it is me to ask you first this week, Ash. Al? Whew, I don't know who I am. So, let me see if we've had any of these questions before. We have had number...
What's that say, sir? Can't see, can't read that. Catacino?
Catanacchio.
Catanacchio?
Maybe. What number is that?
Three.
I'm not picking three. We've had three and four on this thing, Al. So, number one or number two for you?
Okay.
Which would you like?
Well, we've had number four.
Yeah.
We've had number two.
Yeah.
And you have number one.
Right, I know what's coming on my car then. Right, come on then, one or two, Alan, what would you like?
What was that?
One or two?
Two.
Two for Alex.
2 points!
Right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Argentinian playmaker, Lionel Messi, now you've heard of him.
I've heard of him.
Made his international debut against Hungary in 2005.
Yes, he did.
And it was there. It was remarkable, because... Were they playing Bradford? It was remarkable because he scored a hat-trick in 9 minutes. He scored 2 own goals. He was sent off after 44 seconds. He broke his leg after 35 seconds. Or B...
You sent off.
He was sent off after 44 seconds. The answer is C. He was sent off after 44 seconds. Good answer, Al. Well done.
Now, I do believe you haven't had number one either. So, was number one or number three?
Right. I ain't gonna. Surprise, surprise, you're gonna have number one because.
Which player won the Golden Boot Award at the Euro 2004 tournament? Was it A. Milan Baros?
Oh.
B. Wayne Rooney? C. Pauletta? Or D. Ruud van Nistelrooy?
2004, let's have a think. 2004, Greece won it, didn't they?
Yeah.
They played Portugal in the final.
Oh. Pauletta's Portuguese, isn't he?
Pauletta's Portuguese. Barros had a good one, though. I'm going to go with Barros. I don't know why.
It's Pauletta.
Should
have gone for Pauletta. Should have gone for
Pauletta. Is it?
Pauletta.
Yeah.
Pauletta. Paula. Paula was.
Got that. Was it? Can you check the answer now?
Yeah. See.
You see.
It was Milan Baros.
Ah, get him! Don't trust him, ladies and gentlemen. Don't trust this man.
I'm a sneaky little bastard. So, was it 6-4?
6-4.
I can't call that gap at all.
Hey, the run. It surprised me as much as you. Six questions on the bounce this season. I've got
you haven't bought these... Pub quiz cards.
I have some.
Memorising them.
I secretly take pictures every time you go and make a cup of tea, so that's what I'm doing. Screenshotting them. But, 6-4. With only 4 shows to go of this season.
So getting good, isn't it? Good, good listeners. World famous BMAC quiz.
It's tense now, son. And, yes, and that, with that, that brings the end to another fun-filled show.
Now,
jam-packed show out.
Now, my next-door neighbour's cousin's sister, she was in Kovac, North Alaska, in a camp, and she heard two Inuits talking about, Inuits, talking about the National BMAC quiz. That's how far we go.
That's how far.
Kovac, North Alaska.
There we are. You can't.
Can't.
You know, this is amazing. How far is spread now? It's amazing.
Spreads more than the clap.
It does. It does. Fair dues, our clapping gets about, do we? But yes, that draws the end to.
He's in a band called Cream.
Yeah. Wow.
Quality. You would think this is all prepared, but it's not.
It's stuff the cup, we don't rehearse this at all.
I only see him once a week.
This is it. This is where the magic happens. Simple as that. But yes. Yes, series episode 6 gone now. That's it, Dan.
Excellent episode.
So, fun filled, as we said. Hope you enjoyed the listening, all 4 hours of it. It's like Roots, isn't it? they'll play this in school over 2 weeks in 20 years, without a doubt. See you next week, or talk at you next week. In the meantime,
well, we'll be tweeting.
Oh, we'll be twittering, tweeting. Yeah. At Ash and Al.
Don't forget them pictures, son.
I'll get them on, son. Don't get
I'll
them on.
I'll be retweeting shit. Yeah. Random shit of people falling over.
Got to be done. Yeah. It's nothing funnier. Nothing funnier. Nothing
funnier.
But yes, as we said, in the meantime, have a good week.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Two weeks running. You've messed that up, Al. 2 weeks running. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime, have a good week.
And be lucky.